Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to ATP Radio with Barry Nussbaum.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to ATP Radio. I am your co-host for today, Annie Cyrus. We are waiting for Barry Nussbaum, the host of the program, to call in. In the meantime, I figured I will jump in and say hi to everyone. And here is Mr. Barry Nussbaum.
Hello. Sorry about the delay, ATP fans out there. I was being, I got put in the queue. So welcome to our weekly radio Gab Fest. I'm Barry Nussbaum. Thanks for joining us. It's going to be a very special show today. We are going to review 2020, the highlights and the lowlights of the news that I think is going to be with us for quite some time. And I'm going to do this with my ATP partner, INAZ Annie Cyrus, who is here, I think. Annie, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. So we're going to talk, you and I, about the things that we think will carry forward into the future that had big impacts on us politically and socially, both internal to the United States and external. Why don't we say I'll kick it off with my first low light, and then I'll toss it to you, Annie, for your first low light. I'm going to start with what I consider to be the most profound, unpredictable or impossible to have predicted event politically, and that is the election of Joe Biden as president. Now, it's not for sure yet. We're going to know on January 6th, but as of today, that's the way it looks. Now, this is a guy that when the Democrat Party selected him, I remember saying to everybody that would listen, if you're a Trump supporter, if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, this is the best news you've ever heard. The Democrats picked a multi-losing candidate who couldn't debate his way out of a wet paper bag. Trump will crush him. And at the time, I predicted a landslide for Trump. Now, I did it without having a sense of the fraud that would happen and all the BS with millions of ballots showing up from God knows where and Dominion voting machines being changed. And we're not going to get into all that right now. We will later. But at the time, I said the Democrats picked a guy who some people think is already among the deceased. He can barely walk. He can barely talk. He's lost twice running for president. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that he has early onset dementia. He says wacky stuff if he answers a question. He ran a campaign from his basement. He refused to campaign in person. On the few campaign stops he made, they were in front of a half a dozen people, and at times the camera would pan back or pan left to right, and you would see six or eight people in folding chairs in little corrals watching Joe Biden read a teleprompter, except no questions. The rallies would be very, very short in duration. They'd be 100% scripted. And as I watched that on the same day that President Trump might have had three rallies in front of, oh gosh, 100,000 people, I predicted, and I think I was not out of line by saying this election is over. There's not a chance on planet Earth, and I meant that literally, that Joe Biden could beat Donald Trump. Now, how is it possible that that guy who wouldn't come out of the basement, wouldn't have press conferences, wouldn't make personal appearances, would not have in-person rallies, even behind COVID protocols? How in the world did that man get 11 million more votes than President Obama at the height of his popularity? How is it possible? I don't think, and I mean this sincerely, that any logical thinking adult in America today, except the diehard Democratic left that would win at any cost, and I'm not saying that's unique to Democrats, there's Republicans the same way, but in this case, it's a Democrat thing. How could anybody think this was a legitimate victory? To me, that's my low light number one. Any thoughts, Annie?
100% agreed. Scary, but I don't think, let's quickly go back to your prediction. I don't think your prediction was wrong. Putting the fraud aside, you were very correct on your prediction. But it is the question of when are Americans, Republican or Democrat, regardless, just Americans, when are they come to realize this fraud is just the beginning? And if we don't put an end to it, if we don't expose it, if we don't pressure it, things are just going to get worse from there on or here on out. It's not just about Trumpsters wanting Trump reelected. No, that's not what we're arguing over. If this was a fair election and if Trump lost, we would all accept that. Our argument, our fight, at least here at ATP, is how dare they think they can steal our election right in front of our eyes and expect us to just take it.
Yeah, and amazingly, we've lost it. We who want fair and free elections have lost every single court case thus far. We'll see what's going to happen on January 6th, but that's my low light, and I think you agree. It's certainly at the top of most people's list for the bad news of 2020. What's your number one low light, Annie, for the year?
I'm going to continue yours into saying mine is the fact that not only Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib were reelected in 2020, they also had 8 more Muslim candidates joining them in victory. The fact that we have 8 more added to the existing Muslims having their hands in running our country, now we have 8 more, and all 8 of them publicly, just like Rashida and Ilhan, are pro-Sharia, they are anti-Israel, they love Palestine, they hate our constitution. Here comes 8 more of them who were elected, who were voted in, and good luck removing them. Within the election talk, I would say that's my low light of 2020. It was scary. I knew it's coming, but I guess it hit me harder when it did really happen. With the result of 8 brand new Sharia committed anti-Semitic Muslims joining power in the office.
You know, I think it's important that we translate a little bit what you just said into what it means for Americans. You make a very, very good point, Annie. Sharia, for those that aren't familiar with the concept, is the Muslim system of political, religious, and life stipulations such that if you are a Muslim and you are following the dictates of Muhammad, which is Sharia, it tells you how to do every single thing in life. Now, the reason why Americans should be concerned is when a politician gets elected and says they are followers or supporters of Sharia, that means that the Muslim political system is superior to the American political system because it requires you, as a good Muslim, to put Sharia above the laws of the country, in this case, America, and the Constitution. And Sharia comes first, and everything else isn't even on the list. Like you're suggesting, somebody goes to Washington, like Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib, and says they believe in Sharia, and Sharia is the best system. Well, that means women have no rights. They can be bought and sold. That means slavery is legal. That means other religions are illegal. And the permutations are really bad, and then worse, and then way worse. And that's why going all the way back to the founding of our country in the very beginning, Jefferson said in his infinite wisdom, he's concerned about the Mohammedans. This is in his diary that sat on his desk when he would write in it every day. And he called the Muslims Mohammedans because they were followers of Muhammad. He was concerned that they would not be able to be Americans unless they gave up their Sharia and their Quran, because you can't serve two masters. And here we are in the 21st century still having the same discussion, except the difference is, as you just pointed out, now we have a lot of them in Congress. And the words of Jefferson have never been more profound.
Agreed. And that's the thing. Just a quick note, I've said this many times, if you read the Quran, it does say in Quran specifically, do not call for peace when you are superior in numbers. That's what scares me. It looks like soon enough they will outnumber the Americans who believe in separation of church and state. They will outnumber them, and that is when they will not be so peaceful and nice to us. That's when they will enforce their Sharia.
Well, if we have anything to do with it, it ain't going to happen. Am I right?
Absolutely. Amen to that. But let's move on to your second low of 2020. What's that?
My second low light of 2020 is the COVID lockdowns that destroyed the American economy. Governor after governor, mayor after mayor, unelected appointed officials in health departments and public safety and so on, in states run by Democrats and a couple Republicans, have literally destroyed the life savings of tens of millions of Americans under the guise of, we're going to keep you safe from the flu, and we're going to wipe out your savings, your mental health, your business, your family, your social structure for your own good. And ironically, in states that have had minimal lockdowns, if I could even say no lockdowns, i.e. Florida, a very, very populous state. Their economy is booming. The restaurants are open. The stores are open. The beaches are open. And they don't have mass people dying. So from my perspective, this was not about public health and public safety. It's about something else, significantly more sinister. And it's, sadly, its results will be with us for a long, long time. Long time. And that's my second.
And I will add my second. I will add my second to what you just said in a different angle as an American citizen. The pandemic, yes, tragic. Lockdowns, economy, all that, agreed. But the biggest hurt that I felt from it was when all of us became a bunch of toys in hands of our politicians instead of worrying about us, instead of saving us, instead of taking care of us. They weaponized this virus. They used it for their own agenda. They started screaming at each other on the floor of, I'll let Americans have $1,200 if you let me give millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood and Ukraine and Sudan and Pakistan and possibly some other country we're going to discover in Mars and all that. They're weaponizing the virus and politicizing it to override and overshadow the importance of Americans was really low. I normally don't use this term, but those were very dark days for me, just as an average American citizen. I saw how clearly not even a global pandemic is going to make our politicians to care for a split second. Killing babies are more important. Funding terrorists is more important. Somehow, nonetheless, in Pakistan, giving money for gender study is more important than millions of American families losing their home, losing their loved ones, losing their paycheck, not being able to even have a Christmas dinner for their children. None of that mattered to American politicians. That was not only low light, it also broke my heart as an American.
You're suggesting something that everyone has sort of been dancing around, but it scares the hell out of me. And I wonder what the next disaster is that's blown out of proportion that will justify a massive, ferocious government suspension of our rights and privileges guaranteed under the Constitution. That is very, very scary to me, because if a disease that kills 1 out of 10,000, that has a survival rate between 99.7 and 99.8%, can literally shut down the economy of the United States and put people out of work and wipe out their savings, oh my God, what might be the next reason to do this? That scares the hell out of me. On my
and
list,
give me your next on your list, I actually have a question for you from audience, if that's okay. It is about the topic we just discussed. And the question is there anything within the constitutional rights of Americans that could be done to stop any of this foreign funding to be sent out?
Well, that's a very, very good question. And the reality is the legislature of the United States on a federal level, which is the House and the Senate, have the exclusive right to vote appropriations. And they could literally send the money anywhere they want to. The only recourse Americans have is the ballot box. I'm stunned that there's not a bigger outcry of sending millions of dollars to Pakistan for a gender study. This is a country that practices strict Sharia, where women are sort of on the level of cows, sheep, and dogs, and men control and make every decision for everybody, especially the females, and we're going to give them money
to
spend.
This is a country that holds the record of highest acid attack victims of all time. They want to do a gender study? What gender study?
Yeah,
they want to figure out how to burn a woman with acid better?
Isn't that disgusting? And where's the outcry? Where's the upset? Where are the people protesting? Why aren't there 1,000 calls coming into every Senate office that voted for this insanity? It's not
happening.
Exactly.
And
so they get away with it.
So just to be clear, you're telling me that the taxpayers' money is completely up to them to how to spend.
Yeah.
We have
and
no
the
control.
Recourse that voters have is ballot box.
Well, we don't have that, Barry, at the moment. Considering what happened in November, I hate to say this, but I'm one of those people that I'm thinking, what's the point of voting next time?
What do you mean?
Well, what happened in November, the only thing you reminded me is at the moment, my home, my country is at a point where my vote does not count anymore. I had a deja vu back to 2009 Green Movement in my motherland when people were being shot and killed on the streets for screaming, where is my vote? Because I'd like to know where is mine right now. Because I promise you, mine wasn't counted.
No question.
So I feel like
a lot of people
anymore.
Are asking that question, exactly that question. If you lose the faith that your vote counts, then, as you said, what's the point next time? Which is why election integrity is so important, which is a perfect segue to Barry's third lowlight of 2020, which is the massive election fraud in all swing states. Unprecedented amounts of fraud have been demonstrated. And I want to be very clear. The mainstream media, who consistently and relentlessly says every day, in print, online, and especially on television, whether it's cable or broadcast, despite no evidence, Donald Trump continues to claim there was massive fraud. That's the Joseph Goebbels School of Propaganda. The Nazi propaganda minister who controlled all of the Nazi publicity for the party all the way through the destruction of Germany in 1945, he said repeatedly, tell a lie, tell a big lie often enough, and eventually people will believe it. And as he said, give me control of the press, and I will make the people into sheep. Well, that's where we're at now. Massive election fraud in every swing state. Massive proof of election fraud in every swing state. And nobody seems to be taking it seriously. Or it's win at any cost and the integrity of the elections don't matter, in which case you end up with people like Andy Cyrus thinking, well, I guess my vote isn't going to count. Now, or in the future. There are literally thousands of affidavits that have been signed under penalty of perjury, plus people testifying in public hearings and in court hearings, saying ballots were changed, ballots were harvested, counting machines were giving 3/4 of 1 vote to Donald Trump and 1 1/4 votes to Joe Biden. How do I know? I saw it. Fake ballots were put in after hours, some of which is on video. Counting machines were changed. Outcomes were flip-flopped. If you remember, election night, we went to bed on November 3rd, and Trump was up by a landslide. We woke up in the morning, and the results were 100% different in every state. What happened? During the night, the counters were sent home. The voting observers were sent home. Then was shut down. And then the vote dumping occurred overnight. Nobody can explain it other than it was a vast election fraud conspiracy. And now we don't know who won. We know what the official Electoral College statement is, but I'm one of those people who happens to feel very strongly it was faked. And we don't know the real count. And I wonder if we ever will.
I highly doubt that we will ever know. But I'm going to continue doing this, which is expanding on what your low light is. And the same thing that applies to the media, give me the media and I turn everybody dumb is what I like to say. Mine next one was actually the very first presidential debate. You are very aware of it. We actually did a live feed about it day after, but Let me expand for our listeners who may not know exactly what I mean. The extent of ridiculous brainwash set up by the media on that debate from, what's his name, Chris Wallace, right? He was the moderator.
Correct, yeah. The Fox News
commentator. From
Chris
Wallace, exactly. Supposedly being a moderator, but he was debating President Trump at the same time as Biden was doing it. The cover-up that came from him, how many times he shut President Trump down so he couldn't talk about Hunter and he couldn't talk about all of 48 years of Biden destroying our country from every media channel covering it up. And when it came out that Biden was wired, they covered that up. It was disturbing. It was discouraging. It was sad to watch that and consider it an American presidential debate. It felt like we're not even the powerful country everybody refers to us anymore. We have dumbed it down to, oh my goodness, it is embarrassing. And a few days later, as you said, everyone went quiet. Everybody went on about their business. Nobody pushed up, why was this debate so horrible? Why are you covering up? Why was Biden wired? People just went on about their business a few days after. Of course this election is going to go into massive fraud. They tested us, Barry. In last year, in 2020, Democrats tested us so many times before they pulled their fraud. They made sure we're not going to explode. They made sure we're not going to riot. They made sure we're just going to forget and move on with our life, hoping somebody else somewhere else is going to fix it.
Well, you made one point that really bothers me. Actually, two points that really bother me as I look back on that first debate was, I remember I was pleased when Wallace was selected because in my mind, he would be fair, intelligent, and basically an arbitrator between the two of them. And he turned out to be so biased. And as you said, Trump complained about it. I feel like I'm debating the moderator, Chris, and Joe Biden. And it wasn't an unreasonable thing for Trump to say. It was so obvious. And then picture after picture came out, zoomed in on his ear where you could see the earwig inside his ear. He was being told what to say, and nobody seemed to care. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. And that's my point. If you look back very closely, good thing about me is I have identical memory, so for me it's 5 seconds to look back. They did push our buttons many times from January 1st until November 3rd. Lack of our reaction to their actions gave them the confidence to pull this mass fraud. There
Absolutely.
Were so many times, so many chances that Republicans could have done better. There were times when they didn't even react. I remember when you did your video on Hunter Biden and the laptop and all of that. And I remember how you mentioned on that video that why are you not on the phone with your representatives pushing for an investigation? They brushed that off so quickly that it didn't even make it fully out as a story. Those were all the tests they were doing. Let us see how will their representatives react. Well, I'm sorry, but our representative seems to be on their side anyways at the moment.
No argument. I still can't believe it. And that's why I said in the beginning on my first low light, I was absolutely sure when they picked him, it was going to be a crushing landslide because he was so unable to think on his feet, to answer questions, to talk to the press. He's not all there mentally. I'm sorry. At one time, I'm sure he was, but he's not today. and nobody disputes it. Nobody. Okay, my fourth lowlight for 2020. The Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, dirty deeds done dirt cheap, as AC/DC used to say, but in this case, done for a big, big payoff. When the story first started to break, nobody seemed to want to pay attention to it because it would cast aspersions on Hunter's dad. The fact is, Hunter Biden, who had been kicked out of the military for drugs, had lost all of his jobs for drugs, had been through relationship after relationship in a moralistically disgusting manner, all of a sudden, because of his father, becomes an international banker with no training, no experience, and no wherewithal to do anything other than to sell access to his dad. And how did they do it? Quite simply, he would climb on Air Force Two with his father and travel around the world. And when there were investigations of Hunter's dealings, for example, the Burisma oil and gas company in the Ukraine, what happened? Joe Biden very publicly, very proudly bragged that he shut down the investigation, had the prosecutor fired, and he did that in exchange for not cutting off foreign aid to the country. That's illegal. For that alone, Joe Biden could have gone to jail. And yet, that was the tip of the iceberg way back when. And we find out there was money coming from Russia. There was money coming from Ukraine. There was money coming from China on many occasions, big money. And as was broken on Fox News by Sean Hannity, Hunter Biden's former business associate went public with the emails and text messages saying not only did Joe Biden know about it, he participated in it and received money. And I find it incredible that even to this day, when asked about it, Joe Biden repeatedly says, I have never taken money from any foreign company or government as a result of my public service. And yet, the evidence is there. It's indisputable, and nobody in the press is covering it. And that's my fourth.
Disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Pretty discouraging, too. What's yours?
But here's where it gets more disgusting with my number four. He gets away. Everyone involved gets away. No investigation, nothing. But then, one single bad person in uniform kills George Floyd. And every single police officer is investigated. Every single police officer out there is under question. Every police officer becomes racist. Every police officer should be fired. And it ends in defund the police movement led by Linda Sarsour and Ilhan Omar. That makes it more disgusting. When we have all these men and women in the blue every day risking their lives to keep us safe, but we throw them under the bus. We fire them, we put them in prison, we question their actions. In a split second of death or life, actions are being questioned because one criminal was killed in hands of one bad person. And we all walk proudly thinking, equality. Black Lives Matter movement needs our support. Bunch of communists, Marxists, trying to destroy our country are getting more support than those who have dedicated their lives to protecting our society. That would be my number four.
Yeah, well said. And as just in a follow-up, crime statistics are coming out of every city that cut back police budgets, New York, Portland, Chicago, Minneapolis, without a single anomaly, every single city, I should have included Los Angeles, that cut police budgets back has had skyrocketing crime, shootings, murders, robberies, rapes, rioting, break-in. You take the police away, you make it very public that you've taken the police away, and the completely idiotic chant, defund the police, disband the police, has had catastrophic consequences, i.e. skyrocketing crime. Why? Well, the criminals know there's nobody there to do anything about it. And the irony is, those same defund the police idiots, and I mean that word because it is idiotic, are the first people to call the police when the rioters show up at their house, which is what the mayor in Portland did, which is what the mayor in Chicago did, which is what the mayor in Los Angeles did. Those crowds, when they turn on their benefactors and show up dressed for a riot, then those defund the police idiots do what? You guessed it. Call the police. And I wish they would have gotten an email saying, thank you for your request for service. We'll be sending a social worker within the next 2 weeks. Please pick from the following appointment times. Wouldn't that have been a perfect response?
Oh, good point.
All right.
What is your fifth and last one?
My fifth lowlight for 2020 is the massive censorship of real news by the mainstream media and big tech online. Mainstream media, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, all the broadcast networks, all their cable brethren, and big tech online, which is Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, where they're hiding behind this, we're just a platform, we're not a publisher, we're not responsible for what shows up and what doesn't. But yet they all have these socialist-inspired fact-checkers, which are literally censors, deciding what the statement should be and what it shouldn't be. For example, I was reading this morning that President Trump's tweets about massive voter fraud, if they're allowed to be sent out on Twitter. Now, this is the President of the United States, not Donald in the basement, right? This is Donald at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue telling the truth, which is supported, as we talked about a few minutes ago, by thousands of affidavits. And Twitter and Facebook have the chutzpah to put a stamp over the statement saying this has been reviewed by independent fact checkers and contains unverified or incorrect information. That is a lie. And at some point, Congress has to do one of two things, or maybe both, which is break these companies up and take away their protection of claiming to be just bystander platforms, because they truly are publishers and they don't deserve immunity anymore. They are not unbiased. They are completely biased and they make no secret about it. Every single person in charge of every one of these companies is a big liberal Democrat, and the lack of free speech, the ability to tell the truth, has been compromised, ladies and gentlemen. And you know it, I know it, and the Congress knows it. And that's my fifth lowlight of the year.
Well said.
What do you got?
I highly doubt Congress is going to do that, but I hope they do. My number five one, actually, it was a hard one to call, but I made a decision to go with. This one is on a personal level and many other levels, a low light for myself, for you, Barry, for human society, for Americans. February 21st, 2020, the day that the shadow government killed our dear friend, a hero, a patriot, a true American, Phil Haney. And not only to this day, there has not been an investigation into his murder, but they have done everything in their power to fade his name away, which I can promise everyone on behalf of myself and Barry Newsbaum, we will do everything in our power to not just keep his name alive, but continue his mission to expose how our shadow government has made a deal with jihad and Islam to destroy America. May he rest in peace.
It's a beautiful eulogy, Annie. As you said, he was my dear friend and your dear friend. I used to love Phil coming on the show with us because he would always start out, we'd be chatting in his sort of drawl accent. Hello, friend. I miss that voice so much. And for one of the most humble, low-key guys you could ever meet in your life, my God, how brave. This is a guy that had been one of the founding members, literally, of Homeland Security, who knew what was going on, who was briefing Congress both in private and in public, obviously got assassinated. The sheriff released a goofball story. A few hours later, he committed suicide after shooting himself in the chest several times by the side of the road. It turns out that all the evidence was contrary to that. They said they would release the investigation notes shortly. And what was that, 10 months ago? Still nothing. And many people in Congress are demanding an investigation, and yet it has not happened. Or if it has, the little people like you and me haven't been told what's going to happen, or what has happened, for that matter. I miss Phil very much every day, and I'm really glad you may put that on your list.
Yes. I miss
okay,
him every day, too.
Oh, man, no kidding. Let's go to some good news, shall we?
Before we go to some good news, I have two questions from our audience. Let's answer them, and then we'll start the good news. Ready?
Okay.
So the first question says, what would be your strategy be for actually and really dealing with the pandemic?
I love that. I love that question. And here's my long-winded response. I'll make it as brief as I possibly can. COVID-19 is the flu. If you happen to go to a Safeway or a Kroger, you can pick up a bottle of Clorox bleach, and it'll say, effective killing COVID. Now, they're not talking about COVID-19. They're talking about COVID, which is simply the flu. This is a variant of the flu, which is more infective and more deadly. But let's put it in perspective. It kills one person out of 10,000. So this isn't like we're being invaded. This isn't war. It's the flu. I'll make one more personal comment. I had a luncheon over the weekend with my good friend whose father just passed away. 83 years old, had cancer for the third time. They sent him to the hospital. He was very advanced stage of cancer. And in the hospital, diagnosed him with COVID. He was having trouble breathing, and this gentleman died that day. I made a joke to my friend where I said, and let me guess, they put COVID on the death certificate, making a joke, trying to make light. And he looked at me, he goes, yeah, Barry, they did. He's a COVID death. So I just mentioned that personal story of my friend, and I won't say his name. He knows who he is if he's listening. The statistics are greatly blown out of proportion. The death rates are greatly exaggerated. Less people have died in 2020 than died in 2019 in the United States. Less people have died of major diseases. And there's almost no flu. Why? Because all flu is COVID flu. So it ain't as bad as everyone thinks. If you social distance and you stay home, if you are at risk, you can live a life like they do in Florida, where my friend yesterday, who's here from Florida, told me the economy is booming, the restaurants are open, the stores are open, people are happy, and they're going to the beach. And they have about the lowest death rate in the country. So if I was governor of America, I would follow the Florida plan.
There you have it. And I agree. Can we please get back to life and just be responsible?
Yeah, you know,
okay,
like grown-ups.
I know. What happened to us being grown-ups? Take responsibility for our actions and take responsibility for our own health.
Ah, that's the old days. People aren't qualified anymore. You must have the government, silly young lady.
Hey, what can I say? You can thank Common Core for that. We have one more question from our audience before we go to our highlights. Ready for this one?
Okay, go for it.
It says, even if Trump does reverse the election, we still cannot count on elected politicians to save us. So, what are we going to do, or what can we do to save this country when the bad guys control most of the government?
Great question. I would say two things. Number one, spend a dollar and a half or $2 or whatever it costs. Go to Amazon and buy a copy of the American Constitution with all amendments and read it. It'll take you 20 minutes. Understand your rights as a citizen. If you don't know, you can't self-advocate. Number two, get involved and use your voice. Politicians want one thing more than everything else. No matter what they tell you, the most important thing to a politician is their reelection. And if you're loud, and if you organize, and you bring your friends, and you have a policy that you want to see implemented, out of nothing other than self-preservation, politicians will listen. If you don't get involved and you don't advocate, shut up, because you have nothing to complain about. Those people have to be reminded that they represent you, me, and everyone else. They work for you. They are public servants, not the other way around. This isn't a monarchy where their power is given by their parents and they rule until they're killed or died and then their kids take over. They're elected. You can pull them out of office if you advocate enough. And if you scare them to believe they have to listen to you, they will listen. And you do that with numbers. So get involved. And start with the Constitution. All right.
You can also, you can, if you don't mind me adding another step,
please.
You can also go to our website, AmericanTruthProject.org, or if you're in America and have a cell phone, have a unlimited text services, you can grab your cell phone, text Truth, T-R-U-T-H, send it to the number 88202, The reason you can do that is because we are starting a new program or project called Americans for America. We will provide you or your rights based on Constitution. We will send you information on what you can do or what you can say to your representatives to be heard. So that's another step. We're just going to make it easier for you. Instead of you reading, we do the reading. We send you the sum up summary of it.
Love it. I hope they're listening. Sign up, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get involved, you have no right to complain. My number one happy news of the year, the tremendous efforts by President Trump and his team of diplomats, led by Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, making peace in the Middle East with the Arab countries, that for the life of the State of Israel from 1948 till the present, said every day, everywhere, death to Israel, death to the Jews. That is no longer the case. Why? Because President Trump has pulled off the peace initiative of the century. And country after country is making peace with Israel. The Sudan, the United Arab Emirates, supposedly Saudi Arabia next, Bahrain already, Morocco this week. It's spreading. And as more and more of these Sunni states, Sunni Arab states, make peace, it isolates Iran more and more. And these people are opening trade delegations. They are literally changing the face of the Middle East. That is entirely due to the efforts of Donald Trump. He should have been a lay down, a walk-in for Nobel Peace Prize, but then again, that doesn't seem to favor conservatives, does it? Now, they gave a Nobel Peace Prize to President Obama before he was even in the White House for doing nothing. It was embarrassing. And when a president does something this great, he gets no credit. The fact is, what he has done is just short of miraculous. It's that big a deal. And that's my number one.
Amen. And I think you meant to say that doesn't do anything good for Democrats, but you said conservatives. Just making sure you that mean conservatives. And yes, in nowadays, if you do the right thing, you will not be rewarded. If you do the work of the devil, you will be rewarded.
Seems to be that way, doesn't it? What's your number one?
Yes. My number one, this is going to sound weird, but I will explain. The seats that were flipped in Congress and the fact that President Trump did win by a landslide is my good news. The truth is he won by a landslide. The outcome might be different, but the truth is what we work on here at the American Truth Project. The reason that's my number one good news, it gives me hope, and it tells me that my fellow Americans are awake, and my fellow Americans know who to vote for, and my fellow Americans are actually catching up with all the destruction planned by Democrats. And it shows me that there might be a day when we can actually flip Congress and go back to doing the right thing, which is following our Constitution. That would be my number one.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I agree 100%. And I actually have nothing to add. That was perfect. My number two is assigning blame for COVID on the Chinese Communist Party. It really offended me when various libtards, and I use that term intentionally, called Trump a racist for wanting to shut down flights from China because he hated Chinese people. And then when he insisted on calling it the Chinese virus, which is the way it's been done for hundreds of years, meaning wherever a disease originates is the name that gets put on it, i.e. the Hong Kong flu, the Spanish flu, and so on. And there have been dozens of these over the years. Epidemiologists tend to label the name as to where it originated or where it was discovered. For some reason, and I know what the reason is, which I'm going to mention in a minute, the Chinese are so infiltrated into government and media that they exercised their tremendous leverage and pushed back hard that they shouldn't be labeled as the creator of the disease, which in fact they were, and the exporter of the disease, which in fact they were. And Trump deserves the credit pointing the finger at the culprit. Because the fact is, we are under consistent, belligerent attack by the Chinese Communist Party in our government, in our industries, in our trade, in our politics, and now in our diseases. There's no question in anybody's truly scientific mind that the Wuhan virus came from a weapons laboratory that was making germ warfare weapons. And yet, Trump wasn't allowed to call it the Wuhan virus. He wasn't allowed to call attention to the fact that this was probably done intentionally. And by doing what he did, he shined a flashlight on some evil, evil people. Well done, President Trump. You have our support at ATP. And that's mine.
Absolutely.
What do you got?
Yes, well done. And I love how, with doing so, he also kind of sort of shut down the whole race card Democrats play 24/7. Virus came from China. It's the Chinese virus. Get over it, people. My number two. I would go with the nomination and confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful choice. As a woman myself, I am extremely proud that she was nominated and that she was confirmed. I couldn't think of a better option to replace that specific seat. She is brilliant. She is young. She's a mother of seven, and that is not an easy task. I sometimes rest easy knowing if she can handle seven children, she got this. It's not going to be hard to do. So that was definitely a very happy day for me in 2020.
You know, and I agree. I think she's a brilliant scholar with a photographic memory, especially for legal cases. There's two things about that confirmation hearing that stand out to me. Number one is the absurd, insulting, ridiculous commentary by the U.S. Senator from Hawaii, Mazie Hirono, who is way past retirement, who started out her questions. Now, this is for one of the premier legal scholars in America, who has an impeccable record, who has never been accused of anything other than being brilliant, and having the highest rating from the American Bar Association, both for her writings and her authorship of opinions from the bench in the circuit court, was asked by this absolutely absurdly insulting senator something to the effect of, have you ever sexually harassed or abused anybody during your career? And I was watching it live, and I can't believe all Judge, and now I would refer to her as Justice, Barrett said was no. And then Mazie Hirono said, well, I have to ask you that question. As if she's a serial sexual predator. How insulting for a woman to ask another woman a question like that. Absurd and ridiculous. And the only other thing I would add to that, the confirmation, was that outlandish commentary was made that it was packing the court by adding her to the court, when in reality, the obligation of the president and the Senate is to fill vacancies on the court, not when the opposition party wants it filled, but when there's a vacancy. That's what they're supposed to do. And the Democrats that called it packing the court were lying, because by definition, packing the court means expanding the number of justices on the Supreme Court with the intention of changing the political and legal climate of the country, which had been proposed by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and then overturned by his own party. Why? Because it would have greatly affected the future of the country, and they deemed it to be inappropriate. So, am I thrilled she's on the court? Absolutely. She's young, she's brilliant, and she'll be there for a long time as a strict constitutionalist. And for me, I'm very grateful that she's there. Ready for my next one?
Absolutely.
When President Obama lied to the American public, and your first question is, which time? I'm referring to on the Iran nuclear deal. He justified it by saying it'll prevent Iran from getting the bomb. It never would, which is impossible given the way the deal was put together, but that's the way he sold it. Since that time, when we were in the Iran nuclear deal, Iran cheated like crazy and repeatedly broke the agreement. What did they do? They did constantly, relentlessly cheated. And it wasn't until Israel broke into the warehouse, literally, in Tehran and stole all the evidence that went public at the UN and sent it to the White House and briefed President Trump on it that the world knew. So what did President Trump do? He isolated Iran with the Arab countries and honestly showed the world what Iran was up to. Now, all the intelligent countries in the Middle East seem to get it, but the idiots in the EU don't. And I would pile onto that list the 100-plus representatives in the House of Representatives that are urging President-elect Biden, I put that in quotes, to immediately re-enter the Iran nuclear deal and give them everything they want without preconditions, as if we are surrendering to the world sponsor of terrorism, the world's leading sponsor of terrorism, an idiotic reversal of policy that needs not to change. So my number three, is isolating Iran with Arab countries, especially on the nuclear deal. I think it's fantastic, and I hope it continues.
Well, since you went there, I'm going to go there too. Here it is. My number three is the death or assassination of the head of nuclear, the nuclear scientist who was the head of nuclear program in Iran, and the IRGC general who was killed passing through border of Iraq and Syria. Now, let me put this out there. I do not wish death upon anyone. I don't. It's not a good news in the highlight of 2024 2020 for me because two people died. No, it's a highlight because two monsters who were working toward killing innocent people solely because they were not Muslims were killed. They were removed. It's going to take 10 to 15 minutes for Islamic Republic of Iran to replace them both, I understand. But it was a great message to Islamic Republic of Iran's regime, my motherland, invaders, that Israel will not stand by and take their bullying. And Israel has what it takes to take him out if needed. And as everybody knows, I am an Iranian who lives in America, proud American citizen. However, by heart, I love Israel. So go Israel. Yay. I am very happy that happened.
Now, you realize, of course, Israel hasn't claimed responsibility. Wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink. I know. Hey, it's not about if they took responsibility or not. It's the matter of the fact that Islamic Republic of Iran's officials come out crying for help that you need to do something about this hit and run by Israel. That's all that matters to me. They are afraid of Israel. They are scared at this point. They're looking over their shoulder. Every single one of these heads of terrorists of Iran are looking over their shoulders right now, afraid of Israel. That is the beauty of it, because they should be afraid of Israel.
Well, you're right, and I think the elimination of these two horrible potential mass murderers was the best thing that could have happened. And in the case of Soleimani, had already committed mass murder. So it wasn't a matter of, is he a bad guy? It's, oh my God, he's a horrible guy, and he's responsible for the deaths of many Americans and Muslims and Christians, and would have killed many, many, many more and bragged about it repeatedly. If given the chance and had his life continued, he would have continued in that horrible plan of his. And the fellow, the scientist in charge of the nuclear program, made it very clear he's building nuclear weapons. It wasn't a secret. Everybody knew it.
Yes, well, and
maybe
he made
the
it
program
very clear
got sent back
on,
a little bit.
Well, on one of his interviews, he did mention, it was asked of him what was his motive, what made him accept this position, and he made it very clear to please Allah and follow the steps of Muhammad. He was very publicly open about the fact that I am building this nuclear because I want to make sure when it comes to the giant jihad of Iran regime, I can play a good part in. So,
right on. Way to go, whoever did it. Wink, wink. My fourth highlight for the year: the massive Trump rallies from coast to coast that energized the political public. I was quite shocked, to put it mildly, when Trump started announcing these rallies. In my mind, what I expected was, you know, a few thousand people showing up to see the President of the United States running for re-election, blah, 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 blah. I could not believe it was like the Rolling Stones literally were on tour. Literally that big a deal. And it's important to me, not because people were showing up to support the president. It's that people were showing up and getting off their butts a day ahead of time or whenever to sit out all night long waiting in line to do what? Be politically active. That made me incredibly happy because it shows that people care enough to get off their tush and get off the couch and go do something about it. And that gives me great hope for the future, regardless of who the president is. Why? Because they're going to continue, God willing, to be active and to fight for what's right and to be involved in the process. And I hope it doesn't go away because they feel disenfranchised by what happened in this election. I don't think it will. I hope it won't. And I give props to Trump for being able to get them out to support him. That's a big deal politically.
As I say, American and proud.
What's your fourth?
My fourth was the release of the movie titled Infidel, produced by Dinesh D'Souza, written and directed by Cyrus Noreste, fellow Iranian brave man, and starred by Jim Caviezel. A story of a proud Christian American who is kidnapped, captured, taken back to Islamic Republic of Iran, and framed and accused of spying. That movie, I waited years for such movie to ever be made and be released. And not only it was released, finally, it was also received very well by everyone, including my fellow Americans. And it was put out underground in Iran for underground Christians and churches to watch and see hope in that movie. A special thanks to Cyrus, Dinesh, and Jim Caviezel for putting this movie together. We had Dinesh on our program, American Truth Project, ATP Report, and we interviewed him regarding the movie. On all ends, as an Iranian, as an American, as an ex-Muslim, as someone who escaped the country, who found freedom in America, I could not be more proud and I could not be more happy to watch this movie and see it come out in such important time. Definitely one of my top five highlights of 2020.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed the interview we did with Dinesh. He's an inspirational guy to talk to listen to watch. All of his stuff is good. This is very good. It tells a story that needed to be told about how horrible this government is and literally how vicious they deal with anybody that they consider to be the opposition. In this case, going so far as to go kidnap a guy, which is literally what they did, in a foreign country and drag him back to Iran. Disgusting. And that's what they did. So, well done, Dinesh. I hope we can have him back soon. Okay, my last highlight for 2020 is Trump's America First policy. And it's never been more on display than Trump's tantrum over this funding bill that sends billions and billions and billions of dollars around the world instead of spending it here. And I don't blame him at all for being supportive of the money staying home. Don't you agree?
100%. Well, is there 200%? Because I can go there. Uh-oh. Sorry, guys. Looks like we lost Barry. His call was dropped. I'm sure he's going to dial the number and come back on. But yes, I do. 100, 200, 1,000%. I don't know what's the highest number I can go. But yes, we all, whatever party we belong to, as Americans, we all needed that policy. He is back with us. Okay, let me bring him on.
Geez, that was
Barry,
weird.
Back with us? Yes, you just called. your call dropped, as I was saying, 100%, 200%. Hey, 1,000%, I agree.
So how can we get people to think more like Trump? That's my big question. Do you have a thought on that?
Yes, I do. I think I do, or I have an idea. I would like to think I'm starting to, or I started to think like him. And it was simply the first step is what you have been telling people to do. Read the Constitution, understand the American values, then understand your rights, and then feel comfortable in your skin to demand to be the first. That's how I did it.
Well, why do you think it is? I can't figure this out. Why do you think it is that taxpayers who are paying more taxes than they want to, especially since they don't have any extra money, especially right now, aren't rioting in the streets over billions and billions and billions of dollars going around the world to bullshit other places instead of Americans? Where
well, the
is
reason is
the outrage?
Well, here's the reason. Remember, we talked about it. The brainwash system by media, mainstream media, by politicians, it's I have come across more than I can count. One is too many, but way too many Americans who have told me, oh, come on, we have the white privilege and we have the freedom privilege, and those poor people don't have it. They come here and blow us up because they hate us because we don't help them. All of that brainwash has started to work. A lot of Americans actually think that Middle Eastern Muslims come here and kill Americans because we're not helping them. You know how it's like, oh, he was mentally ill and he just needed more hugs and a good job? That's the excuse for Islamic terror? And then the whole white privilege hoax that goes around? And then you have people burning down the city because they supposedly don't have equal rights? All of that has piled up to the point where Americans actually think that they're spoiled and they don't deserve to be the priority and they don't deserve to have the best and they should let their government help other governments. It has, thanks to President Bush, it became a norm that America is here to save everybody else. We just need to reverse that mentality. We need to teach people and remind people that no, you are a human being in this land that belongs to you, and you have the right to demand priority, end of a story, period.
Well, it struck me as rather interesting that the foreign aid that went out is going everywhere in much greater proportion than the money that's being spent here. And if you look at countries like Germany, France, Sweden, England, Spain, they're not spending a fortune on other countries. They're not spending anything on other countries. And we're bankrupting ourselves to support these other countries with goofball, idiotic programs. And out of the billions that went, here's just something that just really bothers me. This TV star, I don't even want to say her name, complained that $500 million was in the bill to go to Israel.
I'm sorry,
what
may I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is referring to Alyssa Milano. I know he doesn't want to say the name. I will say it proudly. Go ahead.
She complained about $500 million going to Israel. What she didn't explain, because she probably doesn't even understand, is that the Israeli military is obligated to spend that money in America, paying American corporations for military cooperation, which literally creates more jobs for Americans. Everybody else gets the money with no strings attached. Only Israel has the strings attached, and it creates jobs and technology for us in America. I did a very long interview some years ago in Jerusalem, in the home of the Israeli ambassador that deals with military appropriations with the United States, and he walked me through chart after chart of how many jobs are created, literally thousands of them, by American aid to Israel that turns around and gets spent in the United States at people, companies like Raytheon and General Dynamics and General Electric and so on. But Alyssa Milano can't keep her big liberal mouth shut. So she gets a little bit of data and tweets out more moronic, uninformed statements, which is why, on a personal basis, I wish political commentary was left to the people that are well-educated politically. And just because somebody lies for a living, that's what an actor does, and has a high school diploma, maybe, does not qualify them to advise on political, social, economic, trade, etc. issues. Let them appear on the red carpet and talk about their dress or their new movie. And for that, they're well qualified. But not to tell Americans how to vote. I find that repulsive. And I also find it completely stupid for anyone that would listen. What's your fifth highlight?
My fifth highlight is a very general highlight. It's the entire year highlight. It's I was safe, didn't catch COVID. I never lost my job, thanks to you and American Truth Project and all of our supporters who supported us via donations. And I, even though I don't have relatives in America, but I do have those who are considered family and loved ones to help me get through this year, because as much as we had highlighted moments and we had good days, but in general, it was a tough year to get through. So I'm just happy that it's almost end of the year and I'm still breathing in one piece, have a job, have a cause, have a fight. And as of right now, I still have the freedoms that the Constitution of this beautiful country offers me. So that would be the last general highlight of my 2020.
Wow. You sound like a very appreciative young lady, and it's really nice to hear it. It's hard to be optimistic in the face of a lot of avalanche of bad news, but I appreciate positivity, even if you're looking at a glass 5% full instead of 95% empty. I wouldn't say it's, you know what I mean. You're looking from an optimistic rather than a pessimistic viewpoint, and I think it's a good lesson for all of us. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. I've got to say that, you know, we're just a week and a half away from the biggest day in American political history, which is January 6th, to see what's going to happen in the Senate and the House when the Electoral College presents their votes. We'll see what Mike Pence does as president of the Senate. That's one of the jobs the vice president gets. And we'll see how he reacts to the presentation of the Electoral College votes. It will decide who your next president is, whether Trump gets a second term or Joe Biden starts his first term, a term that neither myself nor Annie nor anybody else believes will last 4 years. We'll see. It's going to be a very, very, very interesting first week of 2021. In the meantime, we're very appreciative for all of your support and all of you that listen and tune in and send in your questions and subscribe to our text message system and our emails. I want to just repeat what Annie said earlier. If you haven't yet subscribed and you're in the United States, please text the word TRUTH to 88202. The message is TRUTH. The number to send it to is 88202. You'll be subscribed. You'll get all of our shows. you'll get the first three chapters of my new book, Because You Asked for Free. Is it two or three chapters? What are we giving away? I don't want to be lying here on national radio.
So we're giving away
two chapters, Annie?
The first three chapters of the book.
Oh, nice. Okay, so I did say that correctly. Yay me. And you'll get all of our other stuff as well. And you can also go to our website, americantruthproject.org, and you can sign up there, and you're going to be on our mailing list. It's always free. We don't charge for content. You'll be part of the family. You'll get our emails. You'll get our shows. You'll get links to everything we're doing. You'll know what Annie's on and Barry's on and our various guests are doing, and we want you there with us. Annie, anything you want to add at the end of 2020 other than you want everyone to have a wonderful new year?
Yes, I want to quickly remind everyone, especially those of you who are following us on social media, remember we do have regular radio programming. Mondays are my program at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Tuesdays are Barry's program, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursdays are Will Johnson's program at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. When you listen, make sure to grab the link and share it with your friends because everybody needs to hear what we have to say. Yes, they do need to hear it. Also, I want to give a shout out to all of our contributors, wonderful people who are helping us to bring information and educate people. Katie Hopkins, Will Johnson, Daniel Greenfield, Robert Spencer, Jamie Glassoff, Claire Lopez, and many other brilliant minds. Please subscribe because as Barry said, it's not just me, it's not just Barry. It is a huge group of people who are trying to educate you on all aspects you need to be educated. So it is very important to put it on your 2021 resolution list. Sign up, join ATP, be part of the family, and help us fight for our freedom. As someone who comes from an Islamic country, I can guarantee you, you do not want to lose this freedom. Taking it back is a lot harder than fighting to keep it. Thank you, Barry, it's been many years that you have given me a chance to be part of American Truth Project family, but I want to thank you for this 2020 year as well, and I look forward to working with you in 2021.
And another decade at least, I hope.
Absolutely.
All right, right on. Well, thank you all, ATP family. Thank you, Annie Cyrus. I hope you all stay in good touch with us and have a safe and happy new year. Spend it with people you care about and people that care about you. It's the best thing you can do. And starting in January, like we talked about repeatedly on this show for the last hour and a half, please stay involved. If you don't do something about it, you can't complain about it. For all of us at ATP, thanks for joining us.
You were listening to ATP Radio. Make sure to text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to 88202 to be notified of our future radio shows.